Blog Talk Radio.
You're locked in to the hottest station on the planet.
You're gonna hate me. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the name.
And now, for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Check it out.
You're listening to The Voice, the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk? Let's go. PPV Reloaded, get ready to walk. Every Sunday from 12 to 2 p.m. Wednesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. CST. Nieces Touch every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And TPV After Dark every night at 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m.
Turn it up.
Let's go.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, are you ready?
It is now time to get your spiritual fix and uplifting word with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice. This is the hottest Christian radio show on the planet. Are you ready to walk? Let's go!
He's the Lord of all. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. I'm praying for the orphan, poor kid, idolizing stars, pushing Porsches, sitting on the porch with porcelain, ready to bust the window out of kick a door in, or pulling Edward Norton, sorting. Through drawers, went to the store, spent his last dollars, the paper meds for his failing organs. What about the mother in the fifth ward, killer's forcing, so in the morning she's mourning, as they brought the corpse in, forfeits of the whole orbit, reaching to their pocket to find more lit. I know it's horrid. Hope we get a morbid view of the truth, or it will go on as usual. Funerals, suicide portraits, shooting tie culprits, rebuke the lie, euthanize, youth to die, dormant, no way to beautify, torment. Truth don't lie, disguise behind the pulpit. You should try Luke and I, crucify, flesh, forfeit. I do cry abortion, it's legal with sleep, so we the people, even divorcing. I'm forming the movement, trailblazing torsion. Still my core sins, I'll look back, saying, look what the Lord did.
But I just gotta know one thing. Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
You laugh, some is fun. We cry,
some is fun.
Walk with me. I just want to be whole again.
You laugh,
the song is fun. We cry,
the song is fun.
Walk with me,
the song
yeah,
is fun.
I just want to be whole again.
The song
this
is, fun.
Is the sound of the voice. This is the sound of the voice.
What is good, radio family? It's Saturday, June 15th, 2019, and you are listening to the hottest Christian radio show in the land. The Psalmist Voice presents, family. It is here where you get your spiritual fix, uplifting words with rawness, and in context. And of course, I'm your most humble host, the Psalmist Voice. But today, TPV presents a very, very special guest. If you don't know who this lady is, please check her out. She is one of the most funniest women I've gotten to know. I was introduced to her by Dr. K, which is a mutual friend of ours. And when we did the show a couple of weeks back, we hit it off quite well. It was quite funny. And, you know, I have to work on my comedic expertise, just saying, yeah, I'm not too good at that. So, but we're being real serious real quick. We're going to talk about a real hot topic, and we're going to be talking about black relationships and the effects it has on our children. And it's quite fitting because Father's Day is tomorrow. But family, I'm done with all the talking. I want to introduce to all of you, she is one of the most funniest comedic women in the land. She is doing stage plays. She's probably going to be in more movies. You don't know what she's going to do from 1 minute to the next, but she has hats that are better than mine. Just saying. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Miss Anastasia the Boy. What's good?
What's up, family? How you doing?
How you doing?
Say, ready
great.
For it?
I'm
just
great.
Ready for it. Thank
yes,
you for that
ma'am.
Beautiful
yes,
introduction.
Ma'am.
I need to have you at my comedy shows doing my MCing introducing
well,
me.
Well, hey, I'll put in my application because I'm available. I do voiceovers and all that stuff. So if that's what you need, somebody to introduce you to your shows, I'm your man. But we could talk about that offline. Just saying. But anywho, how's the hat? Is it quite starched today, or we put the hats down for the day because it's about almost 100 degrees here in Texas? Just saying.
I put my hat down today. I'm just chilling.
Okay.
I got me a fresh cut, so I had to like let my crown be shown.
Uh oh. I ain't gonna even go there. But anyway,
I got a show tonight, so I got to be ready.
Oh yes. Speaking of which, before we get into this heavy topic, tell the family where you're gonna be performing at tonight, and all the other things that you got going on before we get into this hot topic.
Oh, bro. Tonight I'll be at Cafe Delicious over on 5209 South Lamar. 5209 South Lamar is going to be having soul food. It's BYOB. Not only that, we're going to have a live band. And for those that like to smoke, there's going to be a patio area. So it's going to be a real nice upscale grown event. And then prior to that, around about 6:30, I'm doing the Power in Numbers dinner. And it's a meeting to discuss what we can do as a black community to help us have a positive impact in our community. So I'm gonna be doing that around 6:30 before I get to my show, and then we're gonna be at 2111 Second Avenue in South Dallas with that thing. And then on the 21st, I have an event. Ooh, Lord, I did not know my schedule was so busy. On the 21st, I have an event at the Green Elephant with my sister Kay the Truth. We're going to be having a comedy show on one stage, and then we're having the conscious concert on the other stage. We have some very powerful artists lined up for that, which are all motivational artists and sending out the positive vibration. That's on the 21st. Then on July the 5th, I will be at the Courtyard Theater in Plano, 1509 H Avenue, for the July the 5th concert with my beautiful sister Kimberly Warner and my brother Q Coleman with Second Nature the Band. And that's a highly anticipated event on July the 5th. So I got some stuff you can go to. Make sure you stay on my page and stay posted with what I got going on. Because I got some great stuff happening. And then on June the 20th, I'm going to be a speaker at the Women's Empowerment Conference for Boss Women. And so that's going to be powerful. That's at 4 p.m. on June the 20th, and that's on a Thursday. So there is my schedule in a nutshell. Don't know what all y'all got, but I will be reposting it on my Facebook page. But let's get to this, what's going on in the community, because that's what I really called about. Let's talk about it, bro.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Because I personally, as far as the nonsense going with everything with media, with all the bad flack on black fathers, also the mothers holding it down, being daddies and being mothers, you know, there's a lot of stigmas when it goes to the just having a black relationship, one, and then two, how it affects children when there are children, whether you're being married into children or you're dating someone with a child already. There's a lot of stigmas. There's a lot of different things that play a part in that. And, you know, one thing that just doing just a little bit of research, and like I said, I'm no professional by no means with numbers, but just seeing how our culture, just by watching TV, just seeing how our culture has devolved as far as keeping the black relationship strong, because we're the most powerful couple in the world. If a black man and a black woman can get together and be on the same page, there's nothing we can't do. There's nothing we can't achieve. And we can raise young kings and young princesses to grow up to be queens and to be kings and to make a statement in their communities as well. But we're so caught up in this crab mentality, and I'm not just speaking just on the a black community aspect, but as relationships, we're always tearing each other down, and we shouldn't be doing all that. And maybe it's just me, but I mean, like I said, I'm very big on the faith, because if you don't have God in your life, man, I'm telling you, a lot of this nonsense that's going on right now, and yes, I called it, it's nonsense. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have to wake up and smell the coffee when it comes to being in a relationship with a sister, or vice versa, sisters with brothers. We got to come together and put it on the table and be like, look, you know, we could be the most powerful thing on this planet, but we got to come together. But, sis, I mean, I wanted to talk to you because I know you have a lot more knowledge than me, because I kind of did like a less than 24-hour research on this topic. But I'm just going off the dome and what I've seen and what I've experienced personally, and we can go on that topic a little later on. But just from your perspective, being that you're going into this particular topic on tonight, what is the main issues that concern you as far as just the black relationship as a whole, and then you've seen the effects on the children as far as with divorcing, same-sex relationships, divorce, being in multiple different relationships and not even being married. All these things play a part. But I want to get your expertise on this, because I know this is something that you have a passion for, and I just want to let the family know just a little bit and spread your knowledge and love to the family in regards to this topic.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for the opportunity, bro, for allowing me to speak on the subject and for even wanting my thoughts about what's going on. But personally, one of the main things is that I feel that it's hurting the black communities and our black relationships. And the other one is our spirituality. We don't really have a lot of grounding. And as far as communication, if you have no communication, then you cannot build your community. They're one and the same. Mm. Community is within the word communication. And so with that being said, we are not taking control of what we are allowing our children to be influenced by, or we are lacking.
Yes.
We are very lax in the things that we allow our children to listen to, and we have kind of taken a back seat to responsibility. And one thing, and when I say communication and spirituality, is because a lot of the stupidity that I don't mean stupidity. I'm not bashing anyone's ideas about prayer, but how long are we going to keep praying about stuff before we get off our knees and start making, you know, doing action? You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I need some evidence for some substance I'm hoping for. And
there you go.
And you know, the only way to get that is to communicate and for us to come together and for us to arm ourselves with knowledge, and not only knowledge, because knowledge is nothing but the information. We got to know, like, what are the things, you know, the other day I was, you know, all this crazy stuff going on in our community, these kids getting killed. And one of the main things that's going wrong is the communication. Like, what was said in this situation where somebody got to get themselves killed? And why is it that all of our children are dying in these situations? Why aren't there, you know, as far as the police on people crime, why is there not something that says shoot in the leg or shoot to disarm, not shoot to kill, but shoot to disarm, mm-hmm. to just put the person in a weaker stance than you? Why you got to be shooting in their head and their heart and 15 times in their upper body and stuff like that? Why can't y'all just shoot to disarm? And as far as our community with our children doing black-on-black crime, we as a people, I'm not blaming no parents. I'm not blaming no one individual. I'm not blaming the church by itself. We as a people, as a community, not even family, because family is just people you familiar with. Community is the people you connected to, because that's who you commune with, and there's unity in community. So even your family is not more important than your community, because you can be familiar with your family and have no unity in that community. And
yes.
So with the people, we need to start as a people, start making our kids talk about what's going on with them. What are the things that what's going on with their emotions? What's going on with their feelings? What's pressing you in school? What makes you feel like you're not accepted? What makes you feel pressured? Because they don't have the gyms and stuff no more. And people want to say, well, the YMCA take kids up to 18. What do they have to do up there other than basketball and running around the gym? Ain't no computer classes up there. Most of our kids like music. Ain't no studios up there. Most of our children like to dance. There's no dance instructors teaching our type of dance, hip hop, or, you know, tap or something that's gonna chart, that's gonna get them involved. And if we don't start making a difference as people, as a community, it's gonna be our fault. We can't say that it's the other people's fault when we standing by letting it happen. Because let me tell you something: we control the economics. Black people control economics.
Yes.
Every time we change what we want to do, they start changing their advertisement. And what we're not recognizing is our buying power. They don't start stores in white communities; they start them in black communities. Cause we gonna look good before we gonna look good before we eat. We sitting at the table with a $99 suit on and got a $3 pack of noodles on the table, but we fly as heck eating it. You know what I'm saying? And so, I don't know if anyone's paying attention, but because black people are starting to be conscious and starting to meditate, and we starting to eat vegan and all this stuff, look how the advertisement has changed. They using chakra colors now. They want to add sage to the products. Get your shampoo with lavender and sage in it. They keep up with what's going on with us. They market us. So if we know that we control that air, if we know that we control the market of what goes out in the media on the production and what's available and all that stuff, if we know we control it, we need to figure out how to get a handle on it for it to benefit us. Because everything is marketing our children. When you see these, me and sister was discussing that game, Grand Theft Auto. Like, would you want your son jacking women and choke slamming prostitutes in their real life?
And that's exactly. Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. That's exactly my point. All of you know, and you're exactly correct when it comes to the marketing power of what we have. We have a lot of control. A lot of what we see going on right now is controlled because we're the consumer. We're the ones who's going to buy it.
We're the ones who's going to rock it. We're the ones who's going to make sure that brand that they're promoting is going to be promoted correctly. But what we need to do, and what I miss from what I grew up with Big Mama and them. I grew up with, you know, the community raised you. So if you jacked up in school and Mama heard it from the office working her second job, guess what? Big Mama that lived two doors down was waiting for you with a switch or a whip and got your behind in shape, because that's what's missing. We don't have that discipline anymore. We don't put the values down anymore, and we allow our children to just do whatever. And the one thing that I can compliment on when it comes to discipline, my mom raised me like she ain't play, and I'm just gonna be honest. She ain't play. I was a black man.
Man, look,
she said,
bro,
you're not gonna be.
If I tell you my mama dead and gone in her grave and was a full-blown crack addiction person, but I still didn't play with my mama. I was still scared of my mama. I still show reverence to my mama. And I'm talking about my mama. I knew my mama did crack, but I didn't give a dang about no crack, because she has bestowed so much value in me of who I was as a person. It was like, if you call my mama crackhead, I was like, you better shut up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what she do. Mm-hmm. You better not say nothing about it. These kids nowadays, they have no sense of gratefulness. You know, they'll complain about whatever their parents do, but they don't understand what their parents' struggle is. But I fought parents because parents are not telling their children the truth about what they've been through. We would rather cover up our real lives and make them think everything was hunky-dory than to tell them, yes, I've been molested. Yes, I've had to go to jail and deal with a man coming on to me as a man and how I dealt with this. Or, we have so many secrets within ourselves that the things that we try to keep and hold back and act like we're not going to share with them, it ends up manifesting because it's in their bloodline. And then you got them acting chaotic. You scared to say that you act chaotic. So now it's actually two chaotic behaviors, because you don't know how to respond, because you didn't know how to respond when it was happening to you. And so if you have never express to your child, well, son, I done been through being bullied, or this is how I dealt with that, or this person really doesn't matter to you. This, like, people who pick on people, they really have no value. And when you start speaking back to them, then they actually go away. If I don't share with you my experience, then you don't know how to go down that road. And that's one of the things that we have lost. We have lost our authenticity. We're not authentic with our children no more. My granddad will sit, my mama will sit my butt down and tell me, like, look, babe, that boy over there, that ain't the kind of young man you want. That little boy gonna run through you, and he gonna go tell all his friends and such and such and such and such. The situations I see our little girls in, 16-year-old little girls getting caught in the bathroom with three boys, doing oral and all this kind of stuff. All that stuff is communication. Yeah. Somebody haven't built no value in you. Somebody haven't told you that you're more valuable. Somebody hasn't told you that you're important. Somebody didn't tell you you was worthy. And then I feel like we have an imbalance with our young men, because we up here telling young ladies, oh, you pure, stay a virgin. But ain't nobody telling a young man that your seed is your seed is valuable. Be careful where you put your seed, young man. Make sure you plant in fertile ground, because you got some weeds out here. And if you plant your seed in some weeds, you're going to get weeds. And if you want a reflection of you to be born, then you don't want no weeds. You want a fruit, baby. So be careful about where you put yourself. And we need to have those intimate conversations with our children. And that will start to resolve the things that are going on with them. Once they're able to communicate with us, they ain't got to go ask their friends and the dude in the neighborhood that's going to tell them what they want to hear. And then at the same time, while he trying to act like he their friend, he putting his arm around their neck and figuring out how he can use them to get them in some trouble. So, because he feel like they parent ain't doing what they supposed to do, so he know how he can manipulate this child. Oh, I just make you feel important. Ain't nobody telling you they love you. Ain't nobody paying you no attention. Ain't nobody buying you no shoes. And it's little bitty things that make our children feel important, just to feel validated. And a lot of the times, parents are overlooking the messages that the kids are sending. If my baby coming home every day, they got on headphones, they got black fingernail polish, or they stay in their room all day on the game, heck no, you finna come out that room, we finna talk. Why you on that game all day? That's not your real life. I need you to get outside. We couldn't do that as kids. When we was growing up, you couldn't stay in the house, and you couldn't run back in here. You got to go outside till the sun go down. If you want some water, you drink it out that water hose, or it's a big jug on the porch. Don't keep running in and out my door. Let me flies in and out. You gonna stay outside and get you some of that sun. And but we also were so creative. We made games. These kids don't even have the intelligence to do the stuff that we did. We played Jack, hopscotch, look, I was going to say hi and go get it, but that ain't really no good game.
I was just about to say the same thing. Just keeping it real.
But you know, you know, we did stuff that involved other kids. All the things that our children are doing now that involve other kids mostly is a gang related, or they on some kind of game where they fighting each other and they competing. And one of the things, you know, I do a lot of word emphasis on things, and I try to enlighten people by showing them how words can empower or decrease your power. And one of the things is they keep us competing with each other. They keep us competing.
Yes.
They keep our children in a systematic competition with each other, whether it be clothing, who can get the latest phone, who can get the latest clothes. But when we stop competing with each other and start completing each other, when I stop competing with you, I can complete you. Because what happens is something that I have that you don't know how to do, I show you how to do. And that thing you know how to do that I don't know how to do, you show me that. And now we both complete and we both done went to the next level. And that's how you do that. Yeah. See, when they started us to compete and they took the L out, and the L was the love. The E in compete is envy. Because when I'm competing with you, I'm envying you and I want what you have. But if I'm completing you, I love you because I want you to have what I have. Do you see the difference?
Exactly. Yes. Because you're exactly right. With competition back in the day, it wasn't about, okay, I'm going to off you now because you beat me at a race, or I'm going to off you because we are playing touch football and you cheated. All this nonsense is being built in from, yes, the games that we play, the lack of interactions of fathers and mothers, and I'm totally in agreement with you.
Mothers and fathers, and then... One of the things I'm noticing, we got more single fathers now than we've ever had.
Yes, and
we have
it's a rise
single fathers
now
than we've ever had.
Yes, and now I have, you know, I had all boys until recently. I had my first little girl with my wife, and of course I have my adopted daughter, and it's a whole different dynamic when you have girls. Because for me, it changed my whole outlook on everything. Because I'm like, I know how I used to be when I was a boy. But see, I was grown up different. So I didn't have that disrespect factor when it came to the ladies. Because I made sure it was, you know, I was raised to respect them regardless as I was growing up. And nowadays, these dudes just think they're going to take it. And I'm like, and I tell my wife all the time, you know, I'm going to make sure I got my stun gun on each hip because I ain't trying to kill nobody, but I'm going to get their attention. And I'm like, look, you know, my daughters are off limits. If you got nothing positive to bring into their life, you need to step off because they're going to be something and they're going to be somebody. Yeah, they're going to hate me when they turn 13. Oh, Dad, you're just so overprotective and da-da-da-da-da. I say, you think I'm bad? Your mama even worse. Just saying. So this is what they don't have. They don't have that constant discipline. I'm on your back. Look, I understand you growing up. I understand all that. But listen, you have to make sure you take care of you. Your temple is more important than to be throwing it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. It is not that serious. Go ahead and get your education. Be something with your life. Then go ahead and do what you got to do. I'm not saying be a nun. But at the same time, you need to understand that you are worth more than just giving it up to anybody.
Just like you said, you're worth more than that 10 minutes of pleasure. You're worth more than having all these different scenarios that happen to you in your life. Now, of course, different situations, different how you're brought up and raised, you know, because I was raised from a single-parent home as well, and my mom did a phenomenal job with us, and later on she got married, but she did a phenomenal job with us, and, she did what she could, and she made
shout
sure
out to
that
your mom, because she made you a king.
Shout out to mom, because she did a good job, man. She did what she could for what she had, and the memories that I can bring, and see, this is the thing, you don't have to be balling and shot calling to have money, I mean, to have memories that last a lifetime. We always had this thing that we did. Every month we used to go to our favorite restaurant and we used to have our milkshakes and we used to have our, you know, our favorite dishes or meals. That was our thing. So every month we would look forward to that one big meal that we're going to, it's called Bill's in Plainfield, New Jersey. Shout out to Bill's, by the way. It is still open. But that was our place to go. You know, that was our time, our family time. You know, mom worked hard, and this is what she did for us. And then for the summertime, before we went to school, my mom and my auntie and my grandma, they would save up for us to go to Six Flags. So, I mean, these are little memories that we need to install in our kids. And, you know, these are the things that are missing. Yeah, you know, kids don't understand. You're impervious to the economical situation, especially if your parents ain't being real with you. You know, but my mom was real because when we looked in the cupboard, this is what we had to eat. And if food was low for that month, she made sure we had plenty of spaghetti because back then, you know, Top Ramen was kind of still new. But, you know, we made sure we had spaghetti noodles. We were able to boil them ourselves, peanut butter and jelly down to the socks. And if we didn't have peanut butter and jelly, we ate peanut butter and cinnamon sandwich. Just saying. But, yeah, you know, it's a big, you know, those little dynamics are what's missing. And, yeah, a lot of our older generation is dying off. And a lot of the knowledge that they had and shared and passed down from generation to generation is being lost because we got babies having babies. And, you know, these kids are getting younger and younger and they're having kids and parents are already raising their children. And now they have to raise a grandchild, you know, on top of that. And they're still raising their kids while they still got to graduate high school. The whole dynamic and the whole structure of things are so thrown off. But I know you're big on the sisters, and, you know, just I want you to give them just a little bit more insight on the relationship aspect as a whole and what effects it's going to have in the future. If they all they're worrying about is having the baby from Tyrone and they're not thinking about their college education, come on, what's really going on with you? But like you said, we got to keep it real with our kids. We got to talk real with them. We got to get on their level, take their iPads. And I'm a little, you know, guilty at that because now these kids are so technology sound. It's like when they come out the womb, they already know how to use an iPhone. Just saying. But, yeah, anywho, so the creativity's gone. It's not there anymore because everything is handed to them. Back then, we had to create our games and we had to create all these different things and have imagination. Now the imagination is right at their fingertips with gaming consoles, cell phones, information is just there. We had encyclopedias growing up. Just saying, for all the encyclopedias out there, I used to go ahead and read the encyclopedia. I had to because I didn't have no computer. But anyway, I'm talking too much. But, you know, for the black relationship, as a whole, we'll stay on the relationship aspect. What is your ideal? I mean, do you see a difference in statistics, whether they come from a single-parent home, a divorced home, a same-sex relationship? Is there any different dynamics of structure or suffering or social imbalances from those different scenarios of relationships?
Well, in all honesty, all those each one of those, every last one of those situations, two men, two women, a man and a woman, in every situation, the bottom line is the foundation. Is it built on love? Can you raise a child properly? Because I'm not going to fight the sexual battle, because I have a daughter that's gay, and she was gay at a teenage age, and she knew she wanted to be, so I don't know about nobody being born gay, but I know she was young when she came out, and I know she was about 5 or 6 when I saw symptoms of that she was going to like girls, because how she was treating her dolls, I just knew that she didn't like little girls, so it was going to be a different relationship with her and girls. But for the most part, one of the things that I see with the black and the black man and the black woman's relationship, and that's the only one I'm speaking of because that's the only one I have experience with. We have let the world tell us, define what a foundation and what security is for us as a woman, and as what we expect from men. Now I don't know how this happened, but some kind of way, finances, money has become security and foundation. But that's not what Yahweh intended when he made men. And I'm gonna reference the Unk in this, and everybody, nobody gotta agree with me. This is my personal opinion. This is my personal knowing in my spirit of my knowledge and my wisdom. This is for me. So if you don't accept it, let it pass like gas, baby. But one of the things is with the Unk, the original cross, the woman is at the top. That's the womb, which is the circle of life. And then the two arms represent the children. And then the bottom stake is the man entering the womb, correct? So when you think about that, and I'm not talking about the woman is the head, as the woman is the ruler, and the man got to listen to her. No, that is not what I mean. I mean, we are the foundation of the family, and we are the creators of the family, and we are the strength of the family. The man is strong, but we are the strength. There is a difference. Mm-hmm. See, just because you have strength doesn't mean that you're strong. I can have strength to be able to take care of a whole family with a little bit of money. But if a man come and attack me, I'm not strong enough to fight a man out to keep him from taking my food. I can have the strength to endure while my husband in jail and take care of our family for 7 years. But I don't have the strength to fight the system when they tell me about it's a man, I can't have a man in my household, I'm gonna lose my income. So they know how to manipulate our strength and us being strong, but just based on the woman's role in the black relationship, we have contributed to the demise of our men, because we have let the world make us feel like if a man doesn't have money, he's not of any value. And I don't believe that. Because if people pay attention to common things, the woman's crown is closed and the man's crown is open. On the king's crown, it's open. The woman's crown is closed. Well, when you are a creator, there's nothing else to add. You can only be enhanced. But the man's crown is open, which means there is still room for building and to be added to him. Now, what comes out of him is based on what you put in him. Now, I can take a man that has not worked or anything and does not have a job, but he's a musician and he's aspiring to do whatever it is he's going to do, and he's goal-oriented, and we're making plans together, and he's making progress. Okay, somebody else will say, well, girl, I can't do that. I need me a brother with some money. There's another sister that has all the money, and she's okay with taking care of her brother. Now, the sister that's conditioned by the world going to come tell the one that's taking care of her good man that, girl, I couldn't do that. If I was you, you not set up to do it. See, she knows her role. She's a builder. And we are naturally builders. That's what God intended for us to be. Women are, we are, and I'm going to show you something about the relationship. You got a man, a woman, and her son. Okay, these are the needs. The basic need of the baby is to eat, be sheltered, to be loved, and to be emotionally grounded. So when the baby want love and stuff like that, and he want to feel all like squishy-wooshy, he go to his mama. If he hurt himself or somebody picking on him, he run to his daddy. That's security. This one looked like strength to me. This one looked like love to me. When I want to be patted and my feelings is hurt, I'm running to mama because she's going to lay me on her chest. and pat me and make me feel good and rub my back. But when the bully picking on me and I want somebody to make me feel like I'm strong, I go to daddy. Okay, that's the kid's role with the man. The woman, we need a man for 3 to 4 things. One, when we feel incomplete, completion is intimacy. I want you inside of me so I can feel our connection. That's intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
When we fearful, we want a man that like if we scared of something, we need to make sure you make us feel like you're gonna protect us. That's the security. Because that's protection. Security and protection. That's why security guards are called security guards, because they give you a sense of protection. Okay? And then the other thing, when we throwing off ideas or we getting dressed, we seek out for approval. Other than that, intimacy, approval, and security, that is the foundation of what a man is made for. Now, we can take care of ourselves as women. However, if we feel like we might fall short, we want to have a man that says, baby, if you fall short, I got your back.
Mm-hmm.
The man may not never have to use his money, but the woman just want to know, if I fall short, you got my back. Now, anywhere in there, does that say a man has to have money? No, it does not. But he has provided security, he has supplied foundation, and he has supplied with what the kid needs to make the kid feel secure as well. And ain't none of that involving no money. Money is only needed to pay bills. But when you check out the fruits of the spirit, long-suffering, humbleness, humility, like, when you just think about the fruits of the spirit, hey, man, none of them got nothing to do with no money. And when you think about it, it pretty much say you're going to be broke. Long-suffering means you're going to go through. Being humble means something's going to happen that you ain't going to be able to raise your voice about. You just going to have to, like, say, okay, I can deal with this. And so when we as women take our place and stop letting other people dictate our relationships or letting outside influences tell us what our foundation is, because if a man finds you that loves you and supports you and protects you, he is going to take care of you, because in doing those three, he is already taking care of you. And a real man does not want anyone else to rule his castle. So he's going to do what he needs to do to make sure that no one else can come in and be king. I have never seen a man that really loves a woman wanting another man taking care of her. I've never seen that. That really loves a woman. I'm not talking about no self-seeking brother that ham found himself and just humping on women to be humping on them and thinking his meat is the golden prize. That's a brother that does not love himself. That's a brother that thinks his penis is the best thing going. Ham, nobody gave him no value, that he worthy of anything, because he thinks the tool that he using is his most valuable asset. But guess how many women out here thinking the same way? Women will be happy to give a dude some cat and think they got him in a clutch than to talk to him and let her brain be her draw. She'd rather get him in her drawers than to let him get in her brain and let that be the draw. And so many of us are too scared to get to know people first, because we scared we might not like them and we might not get what we really want. So let me get what I want out of you first and then figure out I don't like you. That is the craziest thing ever.
Mm.
Wow. Why would you want to put your seed somewhere where you don't want to make no trees? And if we started from the top, work our way to the bottom, we wouldn't have so much confusion. But most relationships start at the bottom and then work their way to the top. But if we start communicating first with the people that we want to be intimate with, you might find that what's going on in their mind will make you not want their body.
Wow.
And if you don't want their body, you ain't even got to deal with their spirit.
Well, we have a caller on the line, and I want to get them through. For security purposes, we'll only read the last 4 digits of the number 6268. 6268. You are on the line with the Psalmist Voice and Anastasia the Bold. What's good?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you guys? Hi, Miss Anastasia. How are you doing today?
How are you doing, beautiful?
I'm good. I been listening to you talk, and I totally agree with what you're saying. I'm not here to argue with you, but I've lived in the same life your daughter has lived. I'm not here to challenge you on anything either. And I applaud her. And the reason why I applaud her, because she is who she is. You know, and from a Bible aspect, they said that's a sin. But when I was living that lifestyle, my thing was, who can judge me? No man can judge me besides God. And that's the philosophy I stayed with when I was living that life. So I applaud her for being who she is. You know, and that's the life she want to choose. I'm glad that you're supporting her, because there's more, a lot of parents out there that do not support their kids for the lifestyle that they choose to live. They would quicker support a criminal that's in jail knowing that their son have killed or harmed somebody else, and they're up there at the prison, because I worked to the prison for some years, and the parents are there every day supporting them. But you have a child that's doing right. Just because they choose to live the wrong lifestyle, they don't support them. That's wrong. That's a sin as well. That's a sin. So I applaud you so much for backing your child for who she is. And the
Thank
next
you,
thing
Queen.
I want to talk about.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we are, as black people, I'm a mom that told me that I could never have kids. I have two girls. You know, it's nobody but God to say on that. Because when man tell me no, God said yes. Was I the type
I know
of
that's
person?
Right.
Yes. Was I the type of person to get in trouble? Oh, yeah. I was a little bully growing up. I was the type of person you couldn't point out because I would fight. You know, I came from a huge family, and I'm the last of 14. And can I have been better in life? Can I have done better in life? Yes. But we make choices. But we're not mentally
Can I
trained.
Ask you a question, Queen?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want to ask you a question. You said that you used to fight a lot, but then you also just, you were the baby of 14 kids. So I could almost imagine you had to fight a lot, because you done came in last. You, the last baby's usually baby to get mama when she don't get no whoopings. That's when she
yes.
done got tired of being a parent, and she done let the brothers be the parent now because they older than you. So now you
yes.
might got to fight all in because you... My mom and you ain't my daddy, and you can't tell me what to do. And this 13 of y'all think y'all all for to be my parent.
Yes,
so you,
yes.
So you was conditioned. And see, those are the small things that when we get in relationship, if people pay attention to who we've been with, you will know why this person is like that. I don't even know you. But when you said I was a fighter and I came from 14 and I was the bottom kid, my common sense said she had to fight them brothers and sisters to hold her
well,
ground, because she was the last one. And not in a bad way, just having
yes.
brothers and sisters make you have to fight, because that's what we do anyway. But
yes,
when you
yes.
got ready to deal with the world, the love was not with the world. So that fight I've been holding back on kicking my brother butt, I'm going to let you have it, because I've been wanting
yep.
to beat up somebody for a minute and give it to him
oh,
and
yeah.
let him know what this skill set was. But I didn't do it with my brother. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, Queen, because a lot of us don't pay attention to that. And when we explain it to our kids, they try to say, well, mama, you was fighting. Well, let me tell you why I was fighting. You ain't got number the brother and the sister. They ain't number two of y'all. Y'all ain't got to act like that. I had 13
oh, yeah.
in front of me. So I had
yes.
to learn how to fight. Because when I get in a fight, people expecting the other 13 to come, but they don't realize they got their own fight. So I'm going to fight by myself, and I got to fight
yep.
harder because somebody thinking somebody coming, and ain't nobody coming. So I better fight real hard so you know not to mess with me no more.
Oh, yeah. My
Girl,
whole life, my whole life was a fight. A little backdrop of me. Yes, I did come from 14. My oldest sister would be 64, 65 this year coming August. So all my siblings, they're way older than me. Because my youngest brother, he's 9 years older than me. So even though they taught me how to fight, they told me how to stand up and fight. You know, this society have a thing saying, because you come from a single parent house, you would not be anything. And I'm here to say it's a lie. It's a damn
mm-hmm.
lie, and it's a shame. Because even though my mom had so much kids, by the time I was born, my mom didn't even know she was having me, because I was born 8 pounds, 9 ounces. The tumor that she was carrying was 9 pounds, 8 ounces. I'm a blessing myself. So I've been
oh
fighting from inside the womb. My mom, by the time she had me, she was a single parent. I have a brother that he's disabled. He gets epilepsy seizures. So it was me and him. And he's already in his 50s, toward his 60s. So my mom raised the both of us. My dad didn't help. I didn't carry my father last night until I was 13. At the age of 10, making 11, I was raped by a family member. At the age of 18, I was in an abusive relationship. You know, and I took my mistakes. And I made them my strength to say that I would never let this happen to me again. I would never put myself through this. So for everybody out there that's listening and think because you come from a single parent home, you can't become nothing. It's a lie. I have my own product line today. I have my own product line. And I still work a full-time job, still take care of my two kids, and still come home to my husband. Have my marriage been the best? No. It's my first marriage. Do my husband still see those old ways in me? Yes, because all I knew was to fight. Whether it's verbally, physically, that's all I knew. But you
well,
become...
I want to share something with you, Queen, because I know we ain't, I ain't got that much time because I have to do an, I got to do another radio show at like 5:05. I've double booked myself today. But I want to share this with you, Queen. A lot of times when we've been molested, and I heard everything you said, that you was raped at, I believe, 18?
No, I was 10, making 11. I was a baby.
I apologize. I was abused at age 7. So, first of all, I want to acknowledge that pain and thank you for being able to move past, being able to have a life and move past it and still being able to bond with a husband because a lot of us don't have that. And I want to share this with you because I heard when you said it, I felt your anger come through the phone like you were still mad because somebody didn't acknowledge your pain has not been acknowledged, and I could hear that when you said it, because when you said that part, your energy just, like, surged. It was like, I was raped at 10, then in 18, this and this and this, but that, when you said the rape part or the sexual part, your energy went up very high, and I just want to say this to you, Queen. We have made it. My father my father was my first molester, and one of the things that that God showed me in my life, this is my testimony, that everything that happens to us is not happening to us, it's happening for us. It is something else that's going to happen in our life down the road where we're going to have to tell our story, which is our most hurtful story of the abuse that we went through and what caused it. Because somewhere along the line, we let a guard down. Or we was, you know, we didn't pay attention to something, or somebody took advantage of us, and we didn't know the signs for this person is not a person to be around by yourself. And so, in my family, I made sure that I told my children who are the known pedophiles in the family. A lot of families be knowing who the pedophile is in the family, and you sitting at the family reunion, it's years later, and that person's still doing the same thing. Like the uncle the uncle with the candy in the pocket who always got the little kids going in their pocket, and then they find out it's his Johnson in his pocket and he got the kids filling on him. But nobody wants to ask a family member because nobody want to expose nobody because they don't want the family mad. But why not nobody mad that the kid's being molested and he's getting away with it for all these years because everybody been having the same fear over and over. Don't nobody want to say nothing about Uncle John John. Just act like it ain't here. But now he done raped 12 of us in 12 different generations. And if you are not saying anything, you are holding the hand of the person that causes the pain. If you are there and you are not saying anything to out them or to bring attention to them, you are holding the hand of the person who is doing the rape. And it does not matter if you done went through it. It does not matter if you hurting still and you ain't got over your pain. If you have knowledge of pain that you have already suffered, still going on, and you don't do nothing, you are holding the hand of the person who did it. And a lot of times when we get in our relationships and we still snappy and angry, we still have the defensive nature about what we've already been through, that a man has taken our power. So subconsciously, we are still fighting for the power that was taken when you was 10. So I have learned for myself, Queen, that And I know you probably experienced this because this is a common thing with women who have been molested or raped. We'll get into arguments with our better half, and they always saying, "What did I do? What did I do?" And we screaming and going in, and then we have to stop and be like, "What am I mad for? What is my mad for?"
I explain it to my husband. There's when I first met him, I opened my book to him. And when he met me, I had my first little girl. And even with the kid that we have together, I'm very overprotective over my kids. You know, my daughter is 8 to be 9, and she already getting boobs. And I already had the talk. And from small, I'm telling her where nobody's supposed to touch her. Even my 2-year-old, I like showing her body parts. And I'm telling her that, you know, that's not where somebody want to touch her. That's somewhere somebody not supposed to touch you. But, you know, she's kind of like her mom. She's kind of a hard-headed. So that the baby's going to take a little more time because I would tell her something and she would tell me no. So, you know, but she's still too. You know, and I understand. And going back to it.
Repetition brings about progress, Queen. Repetition brings progress.
Yes,
keep on repeating
yes.
it.
Yes, I'm praying on that progress with her because she's identical to me. Like to fight everything. But, you know, she's a blessing.
Okay.
She was 14.
Well, I
want
to share this with you. I want to share this with you. God has given you to raise. And if you don't want her to go through the same hell you have went through, you break that spirit. Don't let her be angry and start playing meditation for her. When she go to bed at night, put her on some 108 ohms and let it play in her room at night so you can calm her spirit and let that. And if I can, I just want to suggest, when you pray, ask God to break every generational curse that's within your bloodline, going all the way back to the beginning of your DNA. Ask him that everything that started in your DNA from the beginning of when you was created, from when he was a thought in his head, ask him to erase every generational curse that came through your family so that it doesn't touch your children. And every day you just start thanking God that they would not suffer or go through the same things that you went through because you will acknowledge, you will accept, and you will share your story with them because you don't want the same thing to happen. And just I'm going to tell you this. Go ahead, Queen.
I already shared my story with my 8-year-old, so she knew. She knows. I already told her what happened to me because, you see, we as parents, especially the old generation and me being half Hispanic, you know, we as Hispanic people don't like to share things with our kids, our family. You know, we keep it in secret. And that's something that I didn't want. So it's something that I told her because she needs to know. She needs to know because people don't understand the pain that we carry for years or for a lifetime. The damage it does to our relationships. And then you have society that's mind-screwing us. It's mentally screwing us.
It's like we're getting screwed in both ends. We're getting screwed on our mind and we're getting screwed on our monkey. It don't even make no sense.
Yep. You know, but we have to, as Black people, yes, we have to rise, especially in our community that you said. We need to talk to our kids. You know, whether they're girls or boys, for the fathers them that are out there, man, y'all need to step up and teach y'all boys. You know, I just lost my nephew in May, and I can't to violence where he was just sitting in his car and they walked up, two people walked up and killed him, 11 shots. You know, just sitting in his car. And, you know, my niece raised those kids by herself, all 5. They all on a roll.
That's
they
sad.
All give her high school diploma because her daughter just graduated this week, which is the baby out of the pack. You know, and I applaud her so much for that because when they say you can't do something, we as Black people have to realize and analyze that we could rise above all. We could rise above all. We have to mentally train ourselves and get out of the mindset that society has set forth for us. Man,
you said something right there.
Yes.
You said something right there when you said let us all rise. And you know what? The thing is, we don't even know we done already risen. We don't even know we've been at the top. See, we done let all them labels and things that drain our energy. That's what they've been doing this whole time. They've been energy vamping us. They've been stealing our energy. They've been telling us we're a minority when we're a majority. They've been telling us, and I want to say this. I want to share it a bit because I ain't got a lot of time, but I want to share this.
Yes.
What if you woke up and realized you was white?
Huh.
What if you realized that black is white and white is black? And
that's
where I'm going to go with this is it is a spiritual battle that we are having when they're talking about black and white. See, white represents light. White represents light and white. White represents light and white because when light, when you light, strike a match in the dark, what does it look like? White light, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what it looks like.
But,
okay, now, black means to be without hue. The word black means to be without hue. Now, if we're talking about spiritually, black people would be light because that's why we give off energy. That's why we melanated. That's why when certain energies hit us, we look like we glowing. People like, why you look like you glowing or like you glossy or something? Because when our energy is at a certain height, our skin actually has a glow to it. When we are very happy, our skin has a glow to it. You can't find that in other cultures. Only melanated people have that skill set and that ability. So when they tell us that we are black, they are not talking about our skin tone. They are not talking about our melanin. That is actually a spiritual attack that they're saying we are black, and we're not paying attention because we are unconsciously fighting a battle that we're not even on the right level to be fighting. We fighting an earthly plane battle when it's really a spiritual battle that they're going for. And we so focused on trying to meet the world standards, we don't know we on the wrong plane, and we missing the whole fight on the spiritual plane.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, we need to start meditating more, we need to start communicating more, and we need to start having community rap sessions. Rather than just having rap sessions at these radio shows and things like that, we need to start getting at the parks like once a month or twice a month and having community rap sessions. What's going on in the community? Let's get some of the neighborhood stores out and the people that own black or small black-owned businesses. What are their concerns? What's going on? How can we help? And do things like that. And community rap sessions. What's going on with the kids? What's the things that's we hearing going on with the kids right now? What kind of fights are they having? What new gang in the area? And start doing that kind of stuff so we can know what's going on in our community so we can know how to heal and help our community. But we got to communicate and we got to get grounded. And one of the best ways to get grounded is to start meditating. And I recommend 108 ohms to get started because that is the sound of the universe. It is your breathing. That's why every time you say something and you ain't really got something to say, you go, you just like naturally go, That is the highest sound and the highest frequency sounding in our body. So I'm recommending meditation for everybody to get you grounded so that you can actually listen to what's going on in your spirit and then start communicating. Communicate the unity. Make you and your family one by telling them what you went through. Because when I can understand that you understand what I've been through, then I'm able to express to you what I'm going through if you can tell me what you've been through.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's the same thing with I know you got to go, but with white people, you know, and I don't mean to sound racist or anything because I'm not, but what they don't understand is that they're black as well. They're black, you know, and the reason why I say that is that two white people can't make a black child, but two black people can make a white child. And
yes,
they
ma'am.
They don't mentally understand that. And it's right what you said, that, you know, what if white, you know, white is black and black is white. And, you know, like I said, we have to start mentally training ourselves and stop living in what society wants us to be. Yeah, meditation is a big part of it. Finding who you really is another part of it. And that's where we need to stand up and find who we is. You know, not what society wants for us and what they hope for us, but who we is as a person. As a person.
Well, and I love that, Queen. And before we go, I want to add this. It is up to us as women. And I'm putting the jacket on women because although our men are strong, we are the strength. This has never failed in all of history. It has never failed in all of history. I don't care if a man is gay. I don't care if a man is straight. When you mess with a black woman, whatever black real man is around, his backbone straightens up when you mess with a black woman. When you have a black woman with a message and a purpose, our black men stand up for us. I ain't talking about thoughts and women just doing whatever they want to, but when you find black women that have a message that black men love and support, the reason that I've been on so many radio shows with the brothers is because what I'm saying is resonating with them. And the reason that it's resonating is because it acknowledges the things that's going on within their spirit that makes them connect to us, so they know that if one sister understands, it's another 1,000 that understand. And so I'm going to reach that other 999, because if I reach that other 999 and each one of us get 1,000, we're going to have a ripple effect and we're going to change what's going on with our people. But I want to challenge the women. I want to challenge our black women to stand up and let us take the front line, because they killed our brothers already, and we crying and we feeling the pain. But when we get up there and we get in the front, if they start killing and shooting us, that's going to cause the brothers to wake up and rise up. And so they don't have that strength to fight us. That's why they kill our men, because they don't have the tenacity to come after us. They don't have that, because they know that black women are intuitive. See, our brothers will get angry and can't focus. But black women are intuitive. We feel you coming before you even get to us, and we turn around like, what? What's up? What you want to do?
I am calling
all the sisters. We had 1,000 black men marching. I need 1,000. They said 1,000 women did it like a couple of years later, but we need to do it again. We need to like triple the number or quantify, multiply by 5, but we need to do it again. And the women, we need to take a step now, because if they keep on killing all our men, we can't create nothing. And I'm not going to create nothing with no white man. I'm sorry, I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but I need the strongest thing going inside of me, and that's melanated. And we need that. So we're going to have to do something. It's up to the women. The ball is in our court now, and we have to stand up and fight for our own, because these are our men. These are our kings. These are our young princes that they're killing. And they're going to keep on killing them until something changes. And we got to be the change, because we are the creators of life. And if we are the creators, we can. If there's life and death in the power of our body, then life and death is also in the power of our tongue. And we got that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the tongue is the power of all. And what you need to do is that, you know, we request a 1,000 women to come out and march with us. And with every one, we request them to bring 5 with them. So that's 6 people.
Yeah.
So if we request 1,000 and each one bring 5, man, I'll have Chris share my number with you after the show, and then we could talk more after, you know, your business.
Queen, you can write down my number right now, huh? Girl, I'm a pup. Oh, you know what? I got stalkers. No, I'm not. I got stalkers. I ain't going to even do it. I'll catch you on the inbox.
No, I can get it from... I know. I can get it from him. I'm actually his wife.
Oh, well, that is wonderful. Chris, you make sure she gets my number. So me and that sister going to collaborate. We're going to collaborate.
I didn't even get a chance to introduce anybody, because both of y'all just went ham and cheese, and I just sat back and just let y'all talk. So it's all good.
Wait a minute, Chris ain't saying nothing. We done took over his show.
Oh, yeah, I'm a talker. I'm a talker, and we have our own show, too, called The Love Potion. It's every Thursday, so we'll be on this Thursday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, and the topic for this Thursday is a dialogue. You know, we're talking about marriage, divorce, love. So this month is marriage, next month is divorce, and in August, we're going to be talking about life.
Well, I would love to be a guest on that as well, because I'm
looking
for a
lawyer. Anytime, you're always welcome.
Thank you, Queen. Well, I am getting ready to roll out of it. Chris, I want to tell you thank you. And Mrs. Newton,
I want to tell you thank you
for coming on and talking to me. It has been a pleasure and sharing a heartfelt experience with another sister. And I just want to tell you, I celebrate you for your healing. I celebrate you for your ability to talk about your pain. I celebrate you for being willing to admit to a man that, hey, I'm still hurting, help me heal, and if I'm not loving you right, show me how you want me to love you by loving me that way, and after a while, I will become your reflection if you keep on being consistent and showing
yes,
me
ma'am.
The same thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Because
yes,
we
ma'am.
Have to learn how to love each other. It's not something that people know, and I have to know how you need to be loved so you can know how to love me, and it's not always the same. Love languages are different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chris,
well,
I appreciate
you, so
you for being
well,
a king that
I
honors
wish you
his wife.
The best.
Thank you.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to close it out at that, and thank you so very much. Anastasia the Bold was in the building, and, of course, my wife was on the line. They took over the whole show, but it's all good. So, they're going to collaborate, get together. We'll probably have another show on the 5,000 Woman March coming up here in the CTX or in Dallas, somewhere in Texas. But anywho, again, thank you so very much for being on the show. And again, don't be a stranger. We'll definitely love to have you back once your itinerary clears up a little bit and your hat rack gets a little low. Just saying. Anyway,
I need y'all to bring me a hat. I need a hat from y'all. I need a hat for a gift. I need a hat.
Oh, yeah. I got hats galore over here. But, yes. Anywho, I know you got to go, so we're not going to hold you up too much longer. But, again, thank you so very much for coming on the show. And
thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, ma'am. This ain't a one-time thing because this subject is much deeper than what we talked about on today. But again, I just want to thank you and much success to you and continued blessings to you on your different endeavors. And we look forward to talking with you again on any future projects you might have. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank y'all. This is the Psalmist Voice Radio Network, and this is your girl, Anastasia the Bold. Thank y'all for having me, Chris.
You're
I love
welcome.
You, Queen. Y'all have a great day.
The same. Bye-bye.
All right. You
bye-bye.
Too. And that was Anastasia the Bold. God bless you, family. Thank you so very much for being on the show. And always remember, you are more than you think and greater than you heard. Be blessed, family, and we'll see you next time on the Psalmist Voice. Presents.
Don't walk with me, I just want to be whole again. You laugh, we cry, walk with me, I just want to be whole again. This is the sound of the voice. Sound of the voice.